and welcome to Chambers, Changes, and Conversations, the official podcast of Manatee County Government. We're pulling back the curtain on the decisions and dialogue shaping our community. From the commission chambers to your neighborhood, from potholes to policy, we'll bring you the stories, voices, and updates that matter to you. I'm Communications Division Manager Casey Zempel, and with us today is Government Relations Director Stephanie Garrison. Stephanie, welcome in.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be here. I've wanted to do this for a long time, and so really, really excited to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for empowering us. And, you know, the Board of County Commissioners is obviously, they love this sort of transparency, and it's something that we've wanted to do more of, and what better platform than a podcast?
Casey, why are we doing this right here, this conversation?
That's a really great question. Podcasting is such a personal medium. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you, it's me, it's a member of the community. And this, far and away, I think, is the most effective way that we can dive into those deeper topics and be more transparent. That's what it's all about. You know, Manatee County, we've got the ACE philosophy, accountability, civility, and ethics.
That's right.
And that transcends into everything we do, including communication.
You know, I really feel that we have to meet our audience where they're at. Podcasting and listening to podcasts is one of the fastest growing mediums in media right now. And there isn't any space that's represented by Manatee County telling just the weekly update, weekly, monthly, however often we want to do this or how often the public would like to hear from just the things going on in their community and get the facts and information and the status updates. We don't necessarily have all that. Certainly you can attend our Board of County Commissioner meetings, and those are amazing places to get informed. You can watch those on YouTube, on our channel.
On Facebook, we stream them live.
On Facebook, yep. You can see those too. But this is a little different. You know, that is a time where the meetings are hashed out and the policy is made, the vote is cast. This is sort of the behind the scenes, the day-to-day. We're telling you about events like Adopt-a-Palooza. We're telling you more about what's being done with canal cleanup or why we added a government relations department. So I'm hoping that you and I can uncover some of the just background information that the curious listener might want to know, whoever might want to subscribe to this, maybe my mom and your mom, but maybe we'll keep those two ladies up to date and they can tell their pickleball friends.
Yep.
My mom will. So, you know, I felt the need of like, this is a gap that we could potentially fill, and we'd love the public's feedback. We'd love you to subscribe. We'd love you to comment. Tell us if this is helpful. Tell us what topics you care about, and let's keep the conversation positive, because what I'm really interested in is your ideas on how to get better, because I know every single person in our team is looking to get better. They love working for the county. They love serving the community that they live in. So this is very personal for us. I think this is a calling. I don't think you're in local government for the paycheck,
you know? No.
You're in it for the public good that you do. You're in it for, wow, like, we made a difference. And so with communications, I hope that these dialogues can increase trust, increase transparency, increase the ability for people to feel like they get to participate in their government, because perhaps they're asking questions or perhaps they're suggesting things. We are great listeners. Casey, you're an amazing listener.
Thank you very much.
This truly is a malleable thing. We are not going to come with a script saying this is what we're going to say. It's going to be based on what we're hearing and listening to the week. So that's why this engagement is really important to us and to the board. And the board is, you know, this is a new board. This is a board that cares about public opinion. This is a board that cares about public trust. So whatever we could do to earn that more, I think we want to do it.
And to those who comment frequently on our social media, we might not always respond, but we are listening.
That's right.
And I feel like, again, like you said, this is an opportunity for us to respond directly to those concerns. So I really appreciate the opportunity to do this, and I look forward to more.
And here we are.
So it's a brand new podcast. You're the Director of Government Relations. Can you tell us what is government relations and why is it important to our friend listening
Sure.
to this podcast?
Absolutely. And thanks again for the opportunity. So government relations has been happening in Manatee County for, well, probably as long as Manatee County has had a Board of County Commissioners. We've relied on relationships. Our board is incredibly well connected in the community, not just locally with the municipalities, but also at the state and federal level. But the interesting thing is, Only 16 counties out of 67 here in Florida actually have a government relations department. And what we were noticing is that without this department, with everything being decentralized, we're super reliant on the tribal knowledge of whoever was elected, whoever was in office, and that continuity and structure was something we really wanted to bring to Manatee County. Plus, keeping track of all six municipalities, the school board, our neighboring counties, our state legislature, our federal legislature, like this is a big job. And so it started there with how can we put our arms around this and really make sure that we are representing Manatee County's interests, that the board and all of its activities has a plan, has a focus and strategy, and we're the department to do that. So it started with this thinking through legislative affairs. But as we got closer, that's just one arm of this. So one of the things we really wanted to do was how do we centralize and gain efficiencies of all of our intergovernmental activities? So in some counties, they call it intergovernmental affairs. Some is strategic government relations. Some are I've heard many different versions of government relations. For us, that was just the easiest one. So we picked it. But in our version of it, we're the only county that does legislative affairs, grants, economic development, communications, public records. And we're also looking into efficiencies. And of course, it's very sexy to talk about DOGE right now, but Manatee County's been looking at process improvement for many, many years, and especially in this last year under the administration with Charlie Bishop.
Yeah. So this model that you've put in place is something that you guys kind of foresaw as maybe the direction of where government relations in local mm-hmm. government is heading.
Exactly. So we looked at the county, 45 different positions all across the county. They were spread out across five different departments. And some departments were incredibly good at grants, for example, natural resources, led by Charlie Hunziker. Incredible expertise in grants. He's been at the county for how many years? 40
plus,
something,
yeah.
Right? He's incredible. Has all this knowledge. But other departments didn't have that kind of heavy weight in grants or their legislative activity. They were kind of reliant on who was there. So we know by centralizing grants, by having our grant supervisors, both in the pre-award phase and the post-award phase, learning from each other, putting that all under one roof, there's a huge efficiency gain and the knowledge is shared and we actually get more grants, for example. So we took those 45 positions, we put them under one roof, and really now we're seeing how they work together. So for example, if we know that, hey, we'd love to do this Fresh Start Manatee program, and we have funding maybe coming at the state that we're lobbying for or at the federal level, then also if we don't get the funding there, perhaps we can look at a grant. So we're working together, the same folks, and I put this out at a recent board meeting, but it's really like having our own sales and marketing team in-house for Manatee County.
And a very important part of that, in addition to communications, because, you know, there's a little bit of a bias there. But we love being a part of that team. And a very important part of that grants element that you're talking about is the CDBGDR Community Development Block Grant. I can't believe I got that out.
You did.
Community Development Block Grant, Disaster Recovery, $253 million. And it's being executed by this department, by this team, small but mighty of grants administrators and Odugo and Michelle and Edric, they're so important, and it's so important to our area and this money coming in to benefit low to moderate income community members and whole neighborhoods in general.
Right. That's right. It's the first time we've received a grant, and of this size, it's $252.7 million coming to Manatee County. And other counties that we've talked to, like Volusia, they received a similar grant during Ian, and they did everything in-house, and they had 30 people just with the CDBGDR grant. So Michelle Davis is leading our grants team, and just the CDBGDR team is only right now three people. And so we have a lot of work to do for those, you know, small and mighty team members. But we're doing it. We're still building the action plan. We're very early stages. But it's an incredible opportunity. And it highlights the need to have a single team run together, be well organized. And if you're going to run lean, you've got to do it under one roof. And so in my experience, I have experience leading new initiatives, building new teams. So from my corporate experience, this has been a really great place to apply that inside of local government.
For sure. And we're still taking project submissions, mymanatee.org/lastingmanatee.
That's right.
And we will soon be entering our public comment period.
That's right.
And that's what, a 30-day period? So it's very important. Mymanatee.org/lastingmanatee for upcoming meetings and an opportunity for you to have your voice heard in this
that's
process.
That's right. And one more thing on that. We are really interested in bringing the public along. So thank you for mentioning, you know, that public comment period. This is going to be a 6-year process. So we have a team dedicated, but Lasting Manatee, that website is there with questions. It has an incredible resource guide. So if you have concerns, questions, ideas, you want to submit a project, all of that is on the Lasting Manatee website.
All right, let's talk about the thing that everybody is talking about right now. Our Board of County Commissioners recently voted to approve the purchase of an additional campus in Lakewood Ranch at 9000 Town Center Parkway. That's going to become the home of some county services. Now, I've seen a lot of people refer to this as the new county administration building. Is that true, and why the need for the additional campus?
It is not true. So something we want to make sure the public knows is that this is not the new county seat. The county seat is not changing. It's staying right here. We're recording from our county administration building in downtown Bradenton. That's staying the same. This is an additional campus out east, giving us an additional presence for those that need it. And about 500 employees will be moving there. And the most important thing, because we've talked about this with a few different journalists, but we want everyone to know that some services are not changing. They are not moving. So this is an additional building, not a new one.
There's a lot of people that live north of the river, maybe to the west. What do you say to those individuals who still might need to access county services from the additional campus that might have a hard time getting there?
It's a great question. And actually, what I love about this situation we're in right now is it's actually driving us to think what services could be online. What do we have to have people come in person for? And if we have to have them come in person, what transit options exist? So it's actually bringing us a lot of new options to think about how could we get transit to the East Campus. We also think that many of these services, we're looking at ideas of could we have maybe a kiosk or a place here that if you had to come from, you know, north of the river or the west side of Manatee County, you would still be able to come to the county admin building for those, you know, must-have services. We're open to that. And that's what's great because we are a county that is collaborative and we're inviting public suggestions. So if there's a better way of doing things, we want to know it. If there's something you have to be in person for, why wouldn't we have multiple options for you if we have multiple buildings? So that's kind of how we're approaching this. But the vast majority of services actually are online.
You know, I just read an article about the potential traffic impacts to the surrounding area. So what has the county done to assure that, you know, the addition of employees and people doing business with the county isn't directly impacting that Lakewood Ranch area?
Yes, we've heard that from many people, and it's a valid concern because, you know, hey, I actually commute the other way. I live in East County and come west, and traffic's top of mind every day. So this building actually has completed traffic studies already to be, you know, predicting when it's at future capacity, what would that look like? And those numbers and that study is still very valid because this building was renovated during the pandemic with the hopes of everyone returning to office. And for that company, it didn't. So here we are actually with practically a very close to brand new building. And so those traffic patterns, what it was built for, what it was designed for, the parking has all taken that into consideration. And also as needs happen, because we know growth is still predicted to be very strong in Manatee County. But as things change, we will continue to reevaluate the situation.
So again, we're in the same department, and what I've really, really appreciated is how open you've been. You know, the second that this was approved by our board, you immediately had a meeting with employees, and this is happening in every department, in every division, where employees are given opportunities. You had a survey talking or asking us, you know, what we thought about it, how it could potentially impact us, what you could do to be more transparent, and within 2 days, first off, I had an invite to go out and actually check out the property, which was awesome. And I was able to take a few pictures and we came back and shared it with the team. But, you know, just that feedback from the team and that ability to voice concerns and bring it to the managerial level really goes a long way. So
it does.
And I know that that starts from the top down. And Charlie Bishop has been a big advocate for communicating with your direct reports and making sure that directors and managers are empowered with the knowledge that they can pass on to their employees. So nobody's in the dark about this thing, you know.
That's right.
And I always liken it to waking up Monday morning and kind of like, oh, it's Monday. But then by 4 o'clock, it's, it's not a big deal. The Monday's behind you. So while change is scary,
sure.
I think that this organization has done a terrific job in just communicating to employees and addressing those concerns on an individual basis. So
that's great to hear.
Thank you for that.
That's great to hear. You know, we care about this so much. We know that this county doesn't function without the incredible 2,300, or I'm not sure what the exact number is now, but it is the people who work here are our most important resource. So we know that when we're asking people to change their office space, that it's going to impact them. And for every person that it impacts positively, every person, there might be someone that it impacts not so positively. So we've encouraged them that if you have concerns, talk with your manager. We are telling folks, hey, come to us with ideas. What do you suggest? Not everyone is moving, remember. But for those that are and who have concerns, that one-on-one conversation with their manager is what we're working with. And so far, I've been really pleased. You know, with that survey, more than half of our team members filled out. You know, most surveys, you might get 5-10%, and you consider that a win. I was really pleased to see. And most of the people, there was only actually one strongly negative comment, but out of all of the comments, all of them were either positive or very positive. So it's nice to see. I think people are embracing change. Those that embrace change now as they are brought along, I think they're going to do the best with this.
Even that first meeting that we had, we were jotting down ideas. Because what was the one that came up? Hoteling space. Like,
right.
So how do we create a space for people who might be maybe a little bit more mobile in how they work or their style of work?
That's right.
Having permanent hotel space, not only at the downtown, mm-hmm. the administrative building, but at this additional campus. And we were writing, my hand was on fire, just writing down these great suggestions. And that, it could only happen because you guys were transparent about it.
We have to have transparency. When you lead change, you start with the communication. Hey, this is the change that's happening. Here's what we know is true. Here are the facts. What are the questions? And then you create that dialogue to constantly have a loop of here's what we know. What do you think? Here's what we know. What do you think? Okay, take feedback, iterate. Now here's the new facts based on what you said. That's where I think people are really, they feel like they're brought along in the change. It's not just happening to them. And that's how I think you do it in a way that makes people feel good and that they have a say.
We go from campuses to canals. In March, the Board of County Commissioners unanimously voted to approve $2 million in funding to clear canals and waterways that sustained extensive damage during the busiest hurricane season on record. And I was looking back at this. Our teams cumulatively over the course of 3 activations spent close to just under a month inside the Emergency Operations Center. So to give people a little bit of background, we have Blue Sky job duties. That's what we're doing when the sun is shining, and it's the Florida that we know and love, and we maybe even moved here for. During gray skies, we have different roles, and that is during emergency activations, floods, hurricanes. You might have a different responsibility than your day-to-day. But our stormwater teams, along with hired contractors, they've already made huge progress in Gamble Creek. And if you watch the last Board of County Commissioner meeting, a resident came in and talked during public comment about how nice it was to take a kayak down Gamble Creek. Since then, we've turned our attention to the Braden River, and we've started making big progress there. Why is this sort of maintenance important ahead of hurricane season, which, by the way, starts on June 1st?
That's right. Mark your calendars. What is something about like being prepared, Boy Scout being prepared, something? I was definitely not a Girl Scout, clearly, or a Boy Scout. So there you go.
Gotcha.
We'll try that again. But, this is incredibly important that we take seriously as residents of Manatee County and of Florida. We love this great state, but the weather you have to respect and you have to take it seriously. So what's interesting about our county is we actually have more than 600 miles of canals, but we only own and maintain about 200 of them. So of those 200 miles, our team also inspects an additional over 300 ponds for functionality and just looks for debris, make sure that it is cleared. And hurricanes and tropical storms, they can dump inches and inches, feet of rain in hours. So having these clean, unobstructed canals, clean ponds, helps move that stormwater more easily and helps it get out to the outlets into larger bodies of water.
Clearer canals equals faster drainage, less flooding, safer communities,
right?
And our public works team actually did something this last year that they'd never done before, and they did it quite successfully, was preemptively pumping down neighborhood HOA retention ponds and areas that are prone to flooding. It's something that they did last year, and they did it with great success, and they were able to keep those retention ponds drawn down for greater capacity during Helene and during Milton. So it's something that, like you said, we're not only making big investments in, we're making it a part of our big picture stormwater mitigation strategy.
That's right. Flood prevention really starts with having clear canals and preventing that debris that's blocking our drains. You know, we also want to have these clean canals for protecting our infrastructure, because if we have standing bodies of water on our roads, that erodes the road. It makes it more likely to damage the road, damage culverts. Yes. So this maintenance that we're doing, that our public works and property management teams do, it's just part of helping us make sure the water goes where it's supposed to in a timely fashion, right? And not preventing any blockages for residents.
Yeah, and there's even a public health aspect to clear canals.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, part of this, when you have large standing bodies of water, what do you get? Mosquitoes. Exactly. Yeah. So when you have large standing bodies of water, you have mosquitoes, that's infecting the public. You're creating also bacteria. You know, nothing that we want. So we have to get our canals clean and cleared so that all that water can move and we prevent those mosquito breeding pits.
So you've got this, it's obviously like a public works property management function. It also ties back to our team, our government relations team, right?
So that's right.
And that comes down to funding.
That's right. So if you've ever cleaned up a canal, which I've never done it.
I haven't either.
But I would imagine you would need some heavy equipment, you need some machinery, and all of that equals dollars, right? It's expensive to do this, and it's not easy. It's a dirty job, and we have to often hire contractors to do this if our own teams can't do this or get supplement.
We scale up our operations.
We are looking at grants to actually help us with canal clearing, and there are grants right now that we are applying for and have been given sort of the early green light that says if you cross your eyes and dot your T's, or I said that backwards, cross your T's and dot your I's. Don't do that, don't. Grants team. If you cross your T's and dot your I's right, we can get this, and we expect Manatee County to be awarded in the several $1 million range of canal cleanup. So our team is constantly looking for funding to help the county and also help our property management teams, other parts of the county and staff to be able to supplement their work.
Because canal clearing, it's not just a, you know, once and done kind of a thing. Storms come through, they dump inches of rain, and we've got silt and sediment. And then if the wind blows, we've got trees falling and kind of, you know, reclogging these canals. So it's something that we're going to have to continually do. And it's something that we do continually do.
It's true. And it's really also about public safety, too, because when you have roads that are not usable, then now you have congested roads that people are going to instead of the normal road they use. So it's just all around, this is good public hygiene to have clean canals. We want to invest in that. Our staff is very focused on getting ready so that we can have, if we do have an active storm season again, we are prepared at the best possible response.
Yeah, and it's something that obviously our Board of County Commissioners take seriously too. $2 million is nothing to shake a stick at.
So. Yes, and they did that unanimously. So this board cares deeply about their community here, and they're putting their heart and their strategy and their policies behind it.
Have we had this conversation? Do you have pets?
I would love a pet.
Okay. Not quite yet.
No, I'm a dog person. I grew up with dogs. I have 4 children.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure my husband would divorce me if I brought home a dog, but he won't listen to this because I'll tell him to skip past this part perhaps. But my children and I have an active covert operation.
Oh my gosh.
To either get, we'll even settle for a cat because we're that desperate. I love cats. No offense to cat people. But, you know, when you want a dog, you're like, okay, I'll get a cat. That's because I think cats actually might be better for our family and our busyness.
Yep.
But, man, it's tough. It's not a quiet house. Not a quiet house.
So what do you call that? Operation Positive Persuasion?
I'm doing the worst thing you should do as a parent, which is, well, if your dad says yes, you can do it.
Oh, my God.
I put it all on him. It's really bad.
Well,
it's really bad.
If you were ever looking for an opportunity to adopt a pet, we've got Adopt-A-Palooza.
I think I might bring them.
You know what? That's the best. So that's how my wife and daughter got me to adopt our last cat. And he's actually, his name is Captain Russell of the SS Feed Me More. He's 17 pounds, but he was a Manatee County Animal Welfare rescue from the boat. So he was one of the 23 cats that was a part of that hoarding case on the boat near Kingfish Boat Ramp.
Oh my goodness.
Captain Russell of the SS Feed Me More. He is a wonderful cat and one that we adopted from Manatee County Animal Welfare. And you can too. Yeah, it's going on Saturday, May 31st, 11 a.m. till 3, and it happens at the Bradenton Area Convention Center. Find a new pal like Captain Russell of the SS Feed Me More and over 100 adoptable pets. But it's not just us. It's not just Manatee County Animal Welfare. You're going to have your pick from local shelters and other animal rescues and a ton of pet vendors on hand too. So we have three cats, Captain Russ. Mm. We've got Frenda. She's a grumpy Russian blue, like 13 years old. We call her our old lady. And then we have Mr. Biscuit, who's a flame point. And
my goodness.
During the last Adopt-A-Palooza, my wife's like, we need to get – I think Mr. Biscuit would go for a walk. So we went to Adopt-A-Palooza, got him a harness. We're like all like stoked that he's going to be able to go for a walk and parade him around the neighborhood and stuff. And we put it on him, and he flopped over and refused to move.
He didn't want to go.
He didn't want to go. But it's still – like it was so cool to go there and talk with other pet people and just see exactly what's available for adoption and get to know the community that puts so much work in making sure that all these animals have forever homes.
Yes, and Manatee County loves animals. I believe we're one of the few no-kill counties.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, so we have more than 100 pets ready for adoption, ready for their new forever home, hopefully, right? And the other cool thing is that we're waiving all adoption fees, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's waived adoption fees plus spayed, neutering, that's all taken care of, and your animal comes chipped, just in case they're a runner.
This might be the way to get it. Maybe I can get one for each kid. That's actually what I would like to do. I know that might sound like going from 0 to 4 pets is like exactly what my family would do if we did it.
Sure.
And then they each have to take care of one, so that's like their responsibility.
That's not a bad idea.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Do you know who I still have my eye on because I stalk the page? Ethel. Miss Ethel.
Yes.
Do you remember her?
I do. She's 17 or 18 years old.
She's getting up there. She's a mature lady. It's the cutest old cat. And I saw her age and I said, oh my goodness, we need her.
Yeah.
Who doesn't need a Miss Ethel? And I would keep her name because that was genius, whoever named her. She looks like a Miss Ethel. I think she even has like a gray wisp in her front.
She totally does. Yeah. And that's how my wife and daughter got me to adopt Captain Russell. They bring me there and they're just like, oh, we just want to spend some time. We want to help. We want to help socialize, which I know the volunteers always appreciate, the more socialization. So even if you're not able to adopt, maybe you can just bring the kids down to hold the cats to make them more adoptable.
Exactly.
And maybe that's how you can give back.
Absolutely. And what was that date and time again?
That is May 31st, 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. Bradenton Area Convention Center. And it's the largest one-day pet adoption in history.
I love it.
The world. We'll put echo on that later on. Adopt-A-Palooza. Get out there and adopt a pet. And, you know, while you do your best to make the lives of pets in our area better, we're doing our best, too. Manatee County is expanding the Bishop Animal Shelter to not only enhance services for both animals in our care, but also the community that we serve. Two-phase project introduces new facilities, introduces new resources that will support animal welfare operations for now into the future. And this is actually a two-phase approach. What do you know about this, and when can we expect to see some results?
Now, this is great. So this is super important to our board. Our board has tasked staff to get this done by the end of the year. We love animals in Manatee County, and this work proves it. So It is expected to finish by the end of the year. There's two phases, as you mentioned. The first one is the addition of prefabricated kennels. They're going to have fenced-in play yards, improved site work, parking, and also a temporary staff trailer to make sure that the adoptions are continuing during the construction phase.
And this part I'm really excited about.
And then the second phase will feature a brand new administration and adoption building. And this is really going to improve the visitor experience and provide a much more modern workspace for both the shelter staff and their volunteers.
Yeah, and if you want to sign up for updates, see renderings, see the site plan of this exciting project, we've got a page for you, mymanatee.org/bishopupdates. mymanatee.org/bishopupdates. Go there and check out the progress because, again, the kennels moving in, the temporary adoption site, the eventual adoption center. These are all things that are pointing us in the right direction of making sure that pets in our care not only stay safe, but they get adopted quicker and you have a new addition to your family as soon as possible.
That's right. Maybe you can help the Garrison kids get a pet.
We should sign like a change.org petition.
I know.
Convince Mr. Garrison to get a family pet.
Exactly.
Well, that is it for this episode of Chambers, Changes, and Conversations. I'd like to thank you, Stephanie Garrison, for your time, your expertise, and for doing work that matters. If you've got a topic that you would like us to tackle, please, by all means, comment on this post and let us know what you want to hear, you want us to dig into more. On behalf of the men and women doing work that matters for the citizens of Manatee County, I'm Casey Zempel.
And Stephanie Garrison.
Make it a great day to live, work, and play in Manatee County.